Many scholars think that there is a hymn in Philippians chapter 2. In Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 through 8. The reason they think that is it's poetic in the original language. We may not catch all of that in our English translations, but it's poetic. And that also fits with how it's used, this passage is used in the particular chapter there, chapter 2. I want to invite you to read with me the words of chapter 2, 5 through 8. I think we'll have that on the screen there. Or maybe not. There we are. Okay. Let's read this together. Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant. Being born in the likeness of men, and being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. I think that what Paul is doing in Philippians as he quotes the words of this hymn is he is challenging the Christians in Philippi, first of all, but I think through the centuries he's challenging us to ask the question, do you have the mind of Christ? Do you think about things the way Jesus does? I want to suggest to you that this hymn is certainly appropriate as we gather around this table this morning. What is the cross about? We just read these words that it was about obedience. Notice the last part of that we read there, that he was obedient even to the point of death, even death on a cross. I've mentioned this before in some of our classes. I think I've preached this before, but you've slept some. You may not remember this. There is a way of conveying in New Testament letters, a way of conveying what really is the big point in that letter. And what you want to watch for is this little phrase, I urge you, or I plead with you, I entreat you. And it's interesting in Philippians that doesn't come till chapter 4. In chapter 4, verse 2, and he doubles up on that entreaty, on that pleading, on that urging. He says in chapter 4, verse 2, I entreat Euodia, and I entreat Syntyche to agree in the Lord. And he goes on and elaborates on that a little bit more in verse 3. And he says, and I need somebody else to come alongside and help them work out their problems. I want to suggest to you that that's really a key idea in the whole letter of Philippians. That here are two Christian women who do not have the mind of Christ. And the reason that Paul earlier in chapter 2 will quote the words of what maybe Euodia and Syntyche have sat in the same room and sung. He's saying, it's not enough just to sing that song. Are you going to live what that song says? That song about the story of Jesus. Will you live out the story of Jesus, which includes obedience even to the point of the cross? I urge you, I plead with you, Euodia and Syntyche, to agree with one another in the Lord. And I want brethren, chapter 4, verse 3, to step forward and help them in that. How can people learn to get along with each other? Well, I think it's certainly important for us to learn that before the end. Aren't we going to be all together at the end in Christ? And we should find some way to work through our differences. And I think that's what Paul is pointing these Philippian brethren to. And he says, and again, I point you back to the words of that hymn. Have this mind in you. Have this way of thinking in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. What was the thinking of Jesus that led him to the cross, that cross that we remember as we eat this bread and drink this cup? What was the mind of Christ that would lead? Why is that important for us to stress? Well, it's important because that mind of Christ can help us learn to live with one another, even in our differences. I want to suggest to you that as you read this chapter, chapter 2, Paul will cite three examples of people that have learned the story of Jesus, that are living out the words of this hymn. Why is it that in chapter 2, verse 19 of Philippians, he begins to talk about Timothy? It's because he is citing Timothy as someone who has the mind of Christ. That Timothy is someone who has the mind of Christ, who humbled himself. So also Timothy humbles himself like Christ. That Timothy is obedient, even if it's costly. Timothy lives out this song. Notice he says in this section, Timothy is concerned about the well-being of others more than he is concerned about himself. Where do you learn that attitude? You learn it from the mind of Christ, the attitude of Christ. In chapter 2, verse 25, he cites a second person. Paul is not just incidentally, just coincidence, that he mentions Epaphroditus. If you read about Epaphroditus, chapter 2, verse 25, Epaphroditus is a member of the church at Philippi. And they have sent him to Paul, who is in prison, to take care of the needs of Paul. And while Epaphroditus was there, he got sick and he almost died. And Paul says, here's a second person who has the mind of Christ, who puts the needs and what is better for others ahead of himself. That's the story we learn around this table. That's the story we're reminded of around this table every week, isn't it? What kind of mindset, what sort of attitude would lead Jesus to go to the cross when he had never sinned? It is the recognition of our sinfulness and his willingness to do what was best for others and not what was best for himself. That's what Epaphroditus has learned, isn't it? That Epaphroditus will leave the comforts of his home in Philippi to go care for Paul, who is in prison, even though it becomes a situation where he almost loses his life. Where do you learn to live like that? You learn it from the story of Jesus. You sing it in the hymns that we sing, as well as this hymn in chapter 2, verses 5 through 8 of Philippians. Paul is saying to the Philippian church, do you live what you sing? Will the story of Jesus become your story? Will you live out the story of Jesus in your life? In chapter 3, verses 4 through 16, Paul is not just bragging. He's not really bragging at all. When he begins to talk about what he left behind and the status that he had, and he says, that status really doesn't matter anymore. I left my position of prominence among my own people. And there was plenty I could boast about, but I threw it all away. It became rubbish for me. Why? Because of the story of Jesus. It is the mind of Christ, the mindset of Christ, the attitude of Christ. That's what leads Paul to say, this status that I held among my people, it doesn't matter anymore. What matters is Jesus. What matters is living the life of Christ. That's what matters. And so Paul humbled himself. Based on the story of Jesus, Paul humbled himself when he became a Christian and turned away from all that seemed so important to him in the past. What is it that's going to help these two sisters in Christ, chapter 4, verse 2? What's going to help them? To learn to get along with each other. To learn to live as true sisters in Christ, family in God. What will help them learn that? It's that song they sing. It's that song of the story of Jesus. The great hope for Euodia and Syntyche in chapter 4 is that they come to have the mind of Christ, the attitude of Christ. I don't know what their dispute was about. I don't know the basis for their differences, but I know the answer to that, those differences. And it is that they begin to think about what's best for the other person, not what's best for me. Not what do I want, but what are the wants and what are the needs of others. Wouldn't it change our world if our world knew this story and began to take on the mind of Christ? Wouldn't it be revolutionary? And that revolution needs to start this week or be renewed this week among us, doesn't it? Why is it that God wants us to gather around this table week after week after week? Because we live by a story that the world doesn't appreciate. That doesn't mean much to the world. And we need to gather around this table Sunday after Sunday, Lord's Day after Lord's Day, to eat the Lord's Supper. Because if we're not careful, we will forget to live with the attitude of Jesus. The attitude of Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men. And being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. The Lord's Supper and the Lord's Day cannot be separated from the rest of the week. Jesus is our model, and this table is a touchstone that we come back to week after week to be reminded what our mind ought to be, to get our minds right. This morning when we eat this bread, it's about getting our mind right. When we drink this cup, it's about getting our mind right. Just as Jesus gave His body on the cross, just as Jesus shed His blood on the cross, gave of Himself out of obedience, will we be obedient as well? He is our model. Will Jesus be our model? Will the mind of Christ be in me, in my marriage, in my family? Will the mind of Christ be mine in the workplace? Will the mind of Christ be shown in me as a customer? Will the mind of Christ be mine as I drive here in Midland? Will I have the mind of Christ as a neighbor? Well, I have the mind of Christ as a citizen of this community. Will I live out what I sing about Jesus? This supper will help us do that, won't it? To eat this bread, to drink this cup, and to say, I will participate in the mind of Christ that led to the cross.